This week, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by technical editor Kira Pace and teacher cinematographer Cameron Shaw. Gotta be your moderator and host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Sunday evening. I want to say welcome back to David in the studio. It's nice to have him back. And we also hope you can spare us an hour of your not terribly valuable time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so we hope you will take the time to participate. And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we still have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, I'm not sure I should do this, but I will, because we got a couple complaining emails last week about sound quality, so, but I'll soldier through. It is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is mindsovermatter1, that is the number one, the numeral one, at gmail.com, MINDSOVERMATTER, the numeral one, and at gmail.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can certainly do that just by going to kalw.org. There's a live stream going on right now. Live stream going on 24 hours a day, actually. And then the podcast should be up after our show reasonably soon tonight. And that will also be at kalw.org and a lot of other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. All right. All that being said, we'll be hopefully giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio. And though probably not, it probably won't end up that way. That's a starting point. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first, because I have it written down in front of me, so I won't screw it up this week.
Kira Pace. We'll see. We'll see.
Kira Pace enjoyed her Sunday off last week and used the time to sit in a different part of the house from 7 to 8 p.m.
It's true.
What?
I know.
Did it help?
Yeah.
So proud of you.
Yeah. I mean, the lighting was different. It was practically a vacation. Also, I am stir crazy. During shelter in place, Cameron Shaw has not quite perfected sourdough bread, but she has certainly perfected the art of wasting flour to feed her sourdough starter.
It's true. Quite a bit of flour. Dana Rodriguez is the fellow who provides the floor show while his husband eats Sunday dinner.
That's right.
Sunday
it's
yams.
Yam and chicken tonight. So all that being said, we will start with Kira Pace.
Your floor show needs more jazz hand. There we go. That's so much better.
Good radio.
I hope Greg agrees.
There's a little Liza Minnelli in everybody, I think. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. I'll just start with an easy one. What Los Angeles landmark is also called the house that Nat built, referring to the market draw of Nat King Cole?
Would that be the Capitol Records building?
It's the Capitol Records building.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. All right. That was an easy one. All right. Let me highlight that so I don't re-ask it. In 2003, what became the first Chinese restaurant in Britain to earn a Michelin star? Since then, sister restaurants of the same name have opened all over the world, including at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, in San Francisco for a while, and at 17 Bruton Street in London, the birthplace of Queen Elizabeth II. So the birthplace of Queen Elizabeth II is now a Chinese restaurant with a Michelin star. Which one?
Is that where Panda Express started?
It's not where Panda Express started.
Do they have any Michelin stars?
I am not sure they do. If they do, it's probably a different spelling of Michelin.
So I'm sorry, did you say that there was a restaurant with the same name in San Francisco?
There was for a time. It actually closed during all of this.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
And there's one at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas and a few others across the globe.
So, all right. It's definitely a high-end restaurant, though, right? I mean, it's sure. You would call it a high-end?
No,
right?
It's got a Michelin star.
Well, you know.
All right. It does okay.
Okay. Yeah, I don't go much higher than P.F. Chang's, so...
This is where eating at the same restaurant every time I go out doesn't serve me very well.
No.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Read the question once more, if you would.
Sure. In 2003, what became the first Chinese restaurant in Britain to earn a Michelin star? Since then, sister restaurants of the same name have opened all over the world, including at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas and at 17 Bruton Street in London, birthplace of Queen Elizabeth II. And that's spelled Bruton, just in case there's a crazy British pronunciation of the word Bruton.
All right. And Cameron, you go ahead.
All right. Let's see. In a letter to André Breton, the father of surrealism, Salvador Dali wrote, "I have come to Hollywood and am in contact with three great American surrealists." To whom was he referring?
Groucho, Harpo, and Chico Marx.
Well, so this list, I guess in the quote, he was actually grouping those three together. So yes, the Marx Brothers is one of them. So
all right.
Or three-thirds of them.
Was okay. Louis Buñuel in Hollywood at the time?
No, he was not.
Alas.
Excellent guess, yeah.
So, do you have a year on this? Films.
You know, I did not write down the year. I apologize. No.
Because I know he worked with Hitchcock, though I don't think you would call Hitchcock a surrealist. Were the other people on that list comedians as well?
No, they were not. At least not by the popular definition of comedians.
All right.
Were any of these instances of the word surrealist ironic?
I don't believe he was being ironic, no.
Okay.
All right, well, I'll leave that out. Read the question again, if you would.
Okay. In a letter to André Breton, Salvador Dali wrote, "I have come to Hollywood and am in contact with three great American surrealists." To whom was he referring? Dana got the Marx Brothers, who count as one in this list.
All right, there's my small bill. And okay, David, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, okay. This is Kurt in San Francisco.
Hi, Kurt.
I've noticed lately that there haven't been very many questions about flies on the show, and I'm sure it's just an oversight, but I'd like to remedy that, and I'd like to ask you a few things about flies. So I'm going to make a few statements about flies, and all but one of them will be untrue. It'll be almost true, but only one of them will be 100% true. And I'd like to see if you can pick out the one that's completely true. All right?
All right. So only one of these statements is true.
Is it's going to be completely true.
Okay.
All right. A, flies are found on every continent except Antarctica. B, all flies are terrestrial. C, all dragonflies are flies. D, flies are of little benefit agriculturally. E, all mosquitoes are flies. F, all flies hatch from eggs. And G, all flies have wings. I can repeat that.
Yes, would you? Thank you.
Okay. A, flies are found on every continent except Antarctica. B, all flies are terrestrial. C, all dragonflies are flies. D, flies are of little benefit agriculturally. E, all mosquitoes are flies. F, all flies hatch from eggs. And G, all flies have wings. I can expand on any of those if you have questions.
Do all flies hatch from eggs?
Is that your guess?
Yes, that is why I ask.
Okay, so Kira, that is your that's your vote.
Sure.
Okay. Dana, you want to jump in?
I think you can find flies on Antarctica as well. I would think. So that's not it, I guess, because you're looking for the one that's 100% true, right?
Okay, you're right on that one, Dana. Your instincts are excellent. So you've ruled that one out.
Yes.
I'm going to guess. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Cameron. I'm
going to guess that all dragonflies are flies. That seems
so, Cameron, you're going to go with C.
Yes. Sorry, Dana, to interrupt.
Okay, and
no, that's all right.
And Kira, you went with the one. Which one? The eggs one.
Eggs. Still the eggs.
Okay. Eggs sounds good.
All right. What do we have? Cameron,
which was yours again, Cameron?
All dragonflies are flies.
Okay, we got C, we got an F. Okay, and Dana, you're still waffling here.
Yeah, give me the ones that haven't been chosen yet again.
Okay, we've got still open. We've got you ruled out A, so you've still got B. All flies are terrestrial, meaning there are no aquatic flies. D. Flies are of little benefit agriculturally. E, all mosquitoes are flies. And G, all flies have wings. One of those is absolutely true.
Well, there are flags. There are flies that are aquatic, aren't there? I believe there are. Or at least spend part of their lives in the water. And there are flies that are beneficial in an agricultural sense, too, I think. So now I'm confused. I don't know. Did you make your final choice, Kira, Cameron?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both down. They're both wrong, too.
Oh.
Then go with the agricultural one.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll just pick one out of the hat.
All right.
Agriculture.
Agriculture, then.
Yeah, that's wrong, too. You know, without a little known fly called a midge, we would not have chocolate. It's the only creature that fertilizes the flower of the chocolate tree, and without that little fly, we would not have chocolate at all. So they're a benefit. The answer is mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are flies. All mosquitoes are considered flies.
Oh.
They're in the order Diptera. They have two wings, and that's the answer.
What are dragonflies? They're not flies?
They have four wings, and they're considered, along with butterflies and bees, to be in another order altogether. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. What major TV series, character, had the same name as a signer of the Declaration of Independence? What major TV series character had the same name as a signer of the Declaration of Independence? And it was on purpose, too, my man.
The complete same name? Like
the complete same name, okay. First and last.
Can you give us a time period, rough time period?
Within the last 15 years.
Okay.
What major TV series character had the same name as a signer of the Declaration of Independence? And it was intentional.
Okay.
All right. Second question. What ride at Disneyland featured the now banned Brer Rabbit?
Yeah, that's Thunder Mountain.
No, not Splash Mountain.
Splash Mountain. Splash Mountain.
There you go.
Okay, team effort.
All right, good job.
Was there one of those at Disneyland too?
I only had it at Disneyland, but it was probably at Disney World as well, I guess. Yeah. Probably.
Oh, I mean, that's the Disney I grew up with, so that's why I asked.
All right. Okay, I'll give you one more. Let's see. Who was the most photographed American of the 19th century?
Frederick Douglass.
That's right. That's correct.
Very good. Frederick Douglass. Yes. Okay. So what major TV series character had the same name as a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and it was intentional? Same first and last name. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Vanessa from Oakland.
Hi, Vanessa.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
So, I think the Chinese restaurant is the slanted door.
It is not the slanted
door. Oh, it's not.
No, sorry.
That's okay. I have a question.
Okay.
What do Nancy Reagan, the Dalai Lama, Frida Kahlo, and George W. Bush have in common?
Little red dress.
No.
So, what are the? Give those names again, please.
Nancy Reagan, the Dalai Lama, Frida Kahlo, and George W. Bush. They have one thing in common.
One thing. Yeah. Is this a? How would you describe this thing? Is it a physical thing?
No.
Does it have anything to do with, like, Jean Dixon?
With what?
Jean Dixon or fortune-telling or things of that nature?
No. But it's something about the stars.
And do they all have the same birthday?
Yes. You got it. Yeah. Give yourself a pass. And that's my birthday, too. July 6th.
Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher cinematographer, and Kira Pace, technical editor. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. The two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Z. How are you? So you brought it up first. All of the signer of the signature of the Declaration of Independence. All of them but one belong to Secret Group. Do you know which one? Still exists until today.
The Masons?
Yes. Tell me the whole name.
The Masonic Lodge Temple.
Well, no, the Freemasons. They call themselves
the Freemasons. Thank you.
And that's good. And that had tremendous effect on why you have the door, the pyramid and dollar bill, and the, you know, overseeing eye, and all of the courthouses and government things are built exactly the same as ancient Egyptian built. It's standard. The length and height, all kinds of things. So, here's the question. Very quick, second question. Who is Klaus Fuchs? Who was Klaus Fuchs?
Klaus Fuchs was a nuclear physicist who was a spy for...
Okay.
Passed along information to Russia as a Russian agent.
Okay. Who is Francis Gary Power?
Francis Gary Power was the pilot of the U-2 plane that flew over the Soviet Union spying on their military nuclear facilities and was shot down.
Yeah, what year? How old is the year? 1960. What happened to the two of them? Was there at all anything, any incident happened between the two of them?
They were exchanged for each other.
They were exchanged, exactly. They were exchanged. I just like to bring old names because really these people should be alive. Fuchs was a crazy... By the way, he was at Berkeley. So I'm proud to be attended Berkeley for a long time. but he was in my classes. I was long after him, but he was in classes. Very cool question. One was called Little Boy, one is called Fat Man. What were they?
Bombs dropped over Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Which one is which? Which one is which?
Fat Man was Hiroshima, Little Boy was Nagasaki?
No, opposite.
Other way?
Okay. Little Boy was the first, I believe.
Yeah, Little Boy was the first. And who was the great scientist that planned that whole project? What was his name? He lives very close where I live right now. He lived very close.
Robert Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, yeah.
Very good. And as well as, who was the crazy scientist where Dr. Strangelove was named after him?
I'm sorry, say that again, Eve.
Who is the, you have that, the scientist where you have the movie, Strangelove movie by Peter Sellers. Who was the scientist that Dr. Strangelove was named after?
Oh, Edward Teller, I think.
Edward Teller won't need the whole word, by the way. You know, he was a very good man, but I took some classes with him, by the way. Very good, too. Always very good, too. I always like to bring this crazy question, but also bring old names and stuff that people should be aware of it. The Freemasonic still have a lot of influence in the politics in this country. Very good, Joe. I always love to talk to you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you. All right. And Cameron, it's your turn.
Oh, did Kara do a second question?
Oh, okay. Kara, I'm sorry. It's your turn. I'm sorry. It's the way you actually look on my Zoom feed. Because Cameron's to the left, so I was confused. Go ahead, Kara. I'm sorry.
All right. So thanks to our country's overall response to COVID-19, the American passport does not get us very far anymore. So you can travel currently to about a dozen places in the Caribbean and then 13 other countries worldwide. So name the 13 countries that are not in the Caribbean to which a U.S. citizen can travel without visa and without quarantine upon arrival. 13 places outside the Caribbean and the whole world, where we don't have to be quarantined on either end, and we don't need visa.
Okay. I have a friend. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Cameron. Go ahead. It's fine.
I have a friend going to Rwanda in August, and I believe all you need is a negative test in order to go to Rwanda. Is that one of them?
I do not have that one on my list.
Okay. I could be misinformed then.
So I don't know if you consider this. I don't know when you said Caribbean, whether you were considering those islands in the Caribbean, because I think Belize was on it.
Belize is a country that is not a Caribbean island. So I am counting that Belize.
All right. There you go. So I did see that list. That was what I could remember. Is there anything in South America?
No.
Okay. Right.
There's one more in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, wow. Only one.
But it's not in South America, and it's not in the Caribbean, and
it does have coastline in the Caribbean, but it's not an island.
So is it like Nicaragua or something like that?
It's not Nicaragua, but it's something like that.
Right.
How about Costa Rica?
Nope, farther north.
Then Guatemala.
Nope.
Honduras. Mexico.
It is Mexico. Certain resorts in Mexico will still allow American tourists without visa or quarantine.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So you're still looking. You still have other countries on the list.
11 more.
So give the question once more, please.
Sure. There are 13 countries that are not in the Caribbean to which a U.S. citizen can travel without visa and without quarantining upon arrival. What are they? So of the 13, we have Belize and Mexico. There are 11 others.
All right. And Cameron, now you go ahead.
Okay. All right. The four main characters of what classic sitcom served as the direct inspiration for the four main characters on Scooby-Doo? and if you can name the characters, then bonus points.
Okay. Like the Honeymooners or something like that, since there are four?
It is not the Honeymooners. It's sort of the right time period. Yeah.
I Love Lucy?
Not I Love Lucy, okay. But yes.
So,
Huh, I can give you the character types, Dana, if it will help you to come up with a television show from the 1940s or whatever.
Well, it's a 60s, late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all right.
The honeymooners. Can you remember any of the names of any of the characters, Karen?
Of the Flintstones? Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep saying the wrong things today. Yeah. Fred, he's like the no-nonsense leader. He's pretty serious. There's Daphne, who is there to be pretty, but doesn't offer much more than that. There's this serious girl. She has glasses, so you know she's smart. She's Velma. And then there is Perpetual Stoner Shaggy. He's the one who's friends with Scooby-Doo.
Okay. Right.
Shaggy's name is Norval. I don't know if that is helpful in any way.
I don't believe that's going to be helpful.
Okay.
So wait a minute. Now, Cameron, I want to understand the question.
Yes.
So it's not that they have the same names, or is it?
No. It is not that they have the same names. It is that the creators of Scooby-Doo took their character archetypes directly from this other show.
Is it going to end up being like the Mod Squad or something like that? No. Except there's only three of them.
Since I have enjoyed this show on YouTube, I'm going to make a guess that it's Dobie Gillis.
It is Dobie Gillis. Excellent.
All right. Because Maynard Krebs would be Shaggy, and Velma, was it Velma? I can't, would be the brilliant girl.
Zelda. Yeah.
Zelda Gilroy. Yeah. And then Dobie. Right. Okay. All right.
Nice job.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rebecca calling from Buena Vista Park in San Francisco.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. I have a guess for the Chinese restaurant. Is it Hakkasan?
It is Hakkasan.
Good job.
Right. I've actually never been. It sounds like I missed my chance.
Yeah. I've been to the one in Vegas and it's delicious, but I've never been to the one in San Francisco, and now I will never be to that one. But nice job. Yes. Queen Elizabeth II, born in what is basically the smoking lounge of a Hakkasan.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, let me give you a question. Cameron, I think you'll like this question, but I'm going to limit you to one answer, okay?
Okay.
You too, Kira. And so what I'm going to do is give you some major characters in children's books. I want you to tell me what the book is, okay? So these are major characters in classic children's books. Please tell me what books they are from. All right. Number one, Homily Clock. Number two, Max. Number three, Milo. Number four, Templeton. Number five, Jonathan Brown. Number six, Miss Bianca. That's a drag name if I heard one. Number seven, Colin Craven. And number eight, Sarah Crewe. So these are major characters in classic children's books. I want you to tell me the books they are from. Number one, Homily Clock, as in the TikTok. Number two, Max. Number three, Milo.
Speaking of TikTok.
Yeah.
Or
number four, Templeton. Number five, Jonathan Brown. Number six, Miss Bianca. Number seven, Colin Craven. And number eight, Sarah Crewe. Okay, I'll give you each one guess. Cameron, we'll start with you since you're the teacher.
Okay. I'm assuming Max is a character in many children's books, but I'm going to go with Where the Wild Things Are.
That would be correct. Good. And Kira.
I know a few of these, but I actually kind of want to take one that I don't know for sure. Is Miss Bianca from The Secret of Nim or The Rats of Nim?
It is not.
Okay.
It is not.
All
you want to take? I'll give you another guess since you were wrong.
Sure. Milo's The Phantom Toll Booth.
Yep.
Correct. One of my favorite books of the child.
Same here.
All right. So again, these are major characters from classic children's books. The ones we have left are Homily Clock. Let's see. Templeton, Jonathan Brown, Miss Bianca, Colin Craven, and Sarah Crewe. What children's books are those? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed.
I've got a couple of guesses. With Salvador Dali and meeting the surrealists,
yes.
Dana, you kind of dismissed Hitchcock, but then never got a ruling on it. Was that one of the answers, in fact?
Hitchcock was not. I'm sorry if I wasn't
okay.
clear. It was not Hitchcock. Yeah.
All right. You kind of glossed over it, and I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, that's what I'm going to guess anyway. But okay, so not Hitchcock. The signer of the Declaration who made it to television was Josiah Bartlett.
That is correct. That's the Martin Sheen in The West Wing.
The president in The West Wing.
Right.
I'll take one wild stab on the countries we can travel to: the United Kingdom.
No, they will let you in, but you have to quarantine for like 14 days once you get there.
Okay. Other than that, I would just be guessing in the dark, and I'm not going to waste any time on that. I would have had Dobie Gillis. And now on the characters, let me see. Max and Milo, you took already. Miss Bianca, was that from The Rescuers?
It is from The Rescuers, yes.
Played by Ava Gabor in the movie, or voiced by Ava Gabor.
All right, yeah. Good job.
Ava Gabor, and I think Bob Newhart played the other mouse with her.
Oh, I think you're right. Good job.
And I've got another one of those characters, but I'll leave it out there because I think it's pretty obvious. I'll let someone else have it.
All right. Thank you.
So that's it. Then I've got a question for you all. I have five names. These are first names only. They all have something very specific in common, these five people. What is it? And then expand on who the five people are once you figure out what they have in common. The names are Vera, Carlton, Sarah, Lars, and Maris.
They're all unseen characters on television.
There you go. Unseen spouses, yes.
Unseen, not necessarily spouses, but you're right, unseen TV characters. So now can you identify them and the shows they're from?
Vera is Norm's wife, isn't it?
Cheers.
And Maris is Frasier, same joke. Same joke, same creators.
Right.
And Carlton is the doorman on Rhoda.
Carlton the doorman from Rhoda.
And
then the two harder ones, Sarah and Lars.
Lars is Phyllis Lindstrom's unseen husband on Mary Tyler Moore.
Very good.
And who's left?
I'll give you a hint. Sarah is the oldest one of the bunch.
Sarah.
I don't mean oldest in age. I mean farthest back TV show.
Is she a character who maybe died in one of those one of those? No, okay.
Never died as far as I know.
Okay.
Sarah.
Classic black and white TV show.
Is it, is it a comedy show?
Yes.
Is she like a secretary, a voice on an intercom or something?
Not a voice on the intercom. No. I don't think we ever hear the voice.
Is Sarah possibly the secretary on Richard Diamond and Mary Tyler Moore played, which just showing her legs?
No. I don't know who that was, but that's not who I'm thinking of.
Neither do I. Sarah. You want to give us any other hints?
I don't believe she ever had a last name. She was just referred to by many characters as Sarah.
I don't know. Can't think of anything else. You want to tell us?
Running out of hints. She was the telephone operator on Andy Griffith, the Mayberry telephone operator.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So everyone was always picking up the phone. Sarah, get me the sheriff. Sarah, call my house. Sarah, get Aunt B for me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed. That was an interesting question.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Bye-bye. That's a bell for everybody. And let's see. Kira, it's your turn.
Okay.
Okay. So there are four Fortune 500 companies with black CEOs. Which companies?
Well, what was the one? Was it Pepsi or Coke? Was it either Pepsi or Coke? PepsiCo or Coca-Cola?
I mean, it would have been Pepsi if it was either of them, but it's not currently.
Okay. All right.
Is Harpo Productions a Fortune 500 company?
No, it is not. There are no black women on this list of CEOs.
Okay.
Four men.
So, I know the Ford Foundation has a black CEO, but that's not a Fortune 500 company. Interesting. I am sure I have.
So I can even tell you this. There is a big box store on here. There is a pharmaceutical company on here. I think one of them is textiles, and then one of them is, let's call it insurance.
So there's a pharmaceutical on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about Merck?
Merck and Company, headed by Kenneth Frazier. That is one of them. One of the companies.
I'm going to take a stab at the big box store. How about Home Depot?
I would go with the one that isn't super Trump supporting, but you're right there. You just picked the wrong one.
Oh, okay. Lowe's.
One of them is heavily financing the Trump campaign. The other one... the other big box hardware store is not.
Is it Lowe's?
It is Lowe's. Marvin Ellison.
Good job. All right. Good. Okay. Just repeat the question and we can leave that out.
There are four Fortune 500 companies with black CEOs. What are the companies? And so far we have Lowe's, which is headed by Marvin Ellison, and Merck & Company, headed by Kenneth Frazier.
All right.
For two more.
Good. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Since we're a little past halfway, let's repeat. You don't have to repeat that question, Kira, but let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, we'll start with you.
Oh, sorry. The only other one I have is the 13 countries not in the Caribbean to which a U.S. citizen can travel without visa and without quarantining upon arrival. So far, we have Belize and Mexico. I believe everything else is going to be in the Eastern Hemisphere.
Okay. And Cameron.
Okay. I have in a letter to Andre Breton, Salvador Dali wrote, "I have come to Hollywood and am in contact with three great American surrealists." To whom was he referring? And we have the Marx Brothers as one member of that list. And so I'm looking for two more.
All right.
That's all I have.
And I think all I have left is... I gave you major characters from classic children's books, and I asked you to tell me the book that they come from. And the ones we have left are Homily Clock, Templeton, Jonathan Brown, Colin Craven, and Sarah Crewe. Okay. And Cameron, I think it's your turn too. So go ahead.
Okay. So there are two characters for whom or that have won acting Oscars for two different performers. This was a hard question to phrase so that it made sense. But so two different actors have won Oscars for the portrayal of the same character two times. What characters are they?
It's Michael Corleone?
It's not Michael Corleone.
No, it's one of the Corleones, right?
It is.
Yeah, I never saw The Godfather.
It's Vito.
Okay.
It is Vito, yes.
You had half.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one's the Joker.
Oh, good. Nice.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, good job. Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix.
All right, good job. Do you want to give us another question? If something short.
Sure. Relatively. Okay. Yes. Okay. What was the first science fiction novel to win the top three awards in the genre? The top three awards are the Nebula Award, the Hugo Award, and the Philip K. Dick Award. I'm going to. Really,
can you give us an idea how long ago this was?
Yes, I believe it was about 30 years ago, but I'm going to double check right now. That's the good thing about being on.
Was yes, this about, novel made into a movie?
I don't believe so. I think it would be very difficult to make it into a movie.
So this was the 1980s that this happened?
80s, yes. I can give you a specific year, 1984.
Interesting. Okay, never made into a movie. Okay. All right, read the question once more, please.
Okay, what was the first science fiction novel to win the top three awards in the genre? The Nebula Award, the Hugo Award, and the Philip K. Dick Award.
All right. And David, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello there. This is Mark in Sausalito.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. So the American Surrealists that Dolly met, the other two were Cecil B. DeMille and Walt Disney.
You got it. Good job.
Well, Walt Disney makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
DeMille's ironic.
Now, I know this because I'm a longtime volunteer at the Walt Disney Family Museum. And a few years ago, our special exhibition that year was about Disney and Dolly.
That's how I know this as well, from that exhibit. Yeah.
And if I can elaborate just a little bit, there's some really fun information I think that the audience would love to hear. About the Marx Brothers, really, Dolly was specifically referring to Harpo, because if you think about it, his visual gags were truly off the wall. And we had a wonderful photograph in the exhibition of a gift of Harpo with a gift that Dolly sent him, which was a harp strung with barbed wire. And in return, Harpo sent Dolly a photograph of him playing the harp with his fingers all bandaged. And people can find that online. It's really amusing. And the other thing is that Disney and Dolly had a long relationship. Dolly wanted to work with Disney, and they actually collaborated on a short film called Destino, which was never produced. Dolly was set up with some of the creative people at the Disney studio, and they worked for a long time. But Dolly's just ideas were just too... He just kept coming up with them without any idea of, you know, production limitations. So the film was never produced. But there is a lot of archival information, including drawings and some test animations and scripts that was in the Disney archives. And in the early 2000s, I think it was Roy Disney, got all of this stuff out of the archives and presented them to a French animator. And they reconstructed what the film could possibly have been, and you can find that film online on YouTube. It's called Destino, D-E-S-T-I-N-O. Just a short, like 7-8 minute animated film to a Spanish song called Destino. And there's a lot of very Disney and Dolly animation in it. It's very cool.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So thanks very much. Love your show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And okay.
Can I ask a question about the sci-fi thing? Is it part of a series?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. So it was a one-off book?
Yep.
Okay. I'm done. Sorry, Dana. Yep.
That's all right. All right. So according to Google and Ranker, who are the five most searched for Bernies online?
Bernie, you said?
Yeah, Bernie, B-E-R-N-I-E. According to Google and Ranker, who are the five most searched for people with the first name of Bernie online?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is number one, obviously.
Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac is number two. Very good.
Bernie Madoff. Oh,
Bernie good. Madoff is number three. Right.
Weekend at Bernie.
Yes.
But who are the last two?
I think I'm tapped out on Bernie's. Gosh.
So according to Google, who are the five most searched for people with the first name of Bernie online?
That's a great question.
So far we have Bernie Sanders, Bernie Mac, and Bernie Madoff. Who are the other two? All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How about Bernie Brillstein?
No.
No? Okay. Who's he's a film producer, I believe. How about Bernie Williams?
No.
Nope. Yankees player. That's all I can think of. All right. For the non-quarantine countries, how about Russia?
Not on the list.
Belarus, since they don't have any cases.
No, you're in the right general area for a couple of them, but not Belarus.
Oh, okay. In that area, so Lithuania.
Nope, not Lithuania. Nope.
Or Estonia.
Nope, not a nope. Baltic
okay,
state.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. Okay. How about Israel?
Not Israel.
How about India?
Nope.
Okay.
Nothing with an I.
Nothing with an I.
I can't believe it. Oh, and you were talking about the Michelin restaurants before, Dana, and I think you were implying they're all fairly nice places, but which I'm sure they are. But can you tell me what country there's a Michelin that has a Michelin star for a food stall?
That sounds like Japan or China.
No, you're in the right area.
Is it Korea?
No.
South Korea?
Thailand?
No. Getting Singapore. Closer. Singapore is correct.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a food stand that just serves a chicken and rice dish, and it costs all of $2. And it got a Michelin star. Okay, some of the other questions. Let's see. Templeton is probably from Hollywood Squares.
No.
Well, no. It's Charlotte's Web.
Yes, Templeton is the rat. Yes.
Yeah, who is voiced by wonderful Paul Lynde in the movie. And is Jonathan Brown, is that Encyclopedia Brown?
It is not.
Okay.
That's Leroy Brown.
Bad Leroy Brown? the Sci-Fi Award is Neuromancer.
It is Neuromancer. Good job.
By William Gibson. Novel. Yeah.
Good.
Which I believe gave us the word cyber.
Cyberpunk?
Cyberpunk, yeah, but yeah. And I'm blanking whatever I was going to say. Okay, and then one other question. So there are, what state has the most lighthouses and what two states have the fewest of states that have lighthouses?
Michigan has the most.
Michigan does have the most. That was easy.
Yeah.
The fewest.
There are two states that have only one lighthouse.
Maybe Kansas?
No, Kansas, as far as I can tell, may not have any, or they may have some because...
So zero is fewer than one?
Well, I said I qualified it. I did say of states that have lighthouses.
Okay.
So are these coastal states? Is that giving it away too much?
No, it is not, and they are not states.
Not coastal states.
What about Vermont?
No, Vermont actually seems to have 8 lighthouses.
How about Utah?
Utah has 2 lighthouses, so you're getting close.
Okay.
How about Wyoming?
Wyoming is not on the list, so...
Nevada?
Close on that, too. Nope. I'll just give it because it's getting towards the end. It's Oklahoma and West Virginia.
Interesting.
Yeah, the West Virginia one is interesting because it was some people who own a resort on a lake. They were putting up a wind turbine farm nearby, and one of the sections fell off and got damaged, so they bought it and turned it into a lighthouse. Anyway.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Wonderful show, as always. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Ralph, San Francisco. And I got a question on the pilot for Dobie Gillis. Who was the original Maynard G. Krebs?
Let's see. Who would that have been? So is this a well-known actor?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He was in a number of movies. He was peculiar. And he actually died a little bit ago.
So I know that Michael Pollard played.
That's it.
Is it Michael Pollard? All right.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the guy.
All right.
And for some reason, they didn't like him, and Bob Denver got it.
Okay.
For the questions, the countries, how about Poland and Hungary?
Neither of those.
Ah.
Sorry.
Okay.
But
well,
again, it's
the
right general area for a lot of them, so.
Ah, okay. Well, I'll leave it to somebody else.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bye. So, Kira, it wouldn't be any country in the European Union, then, would it? So,
I'm terrible at listing everything that's actually in the European Union, but there are several Eastern European countries,
okay.
Former Soviet bloc countries.
How about Georgia?
Not Georgia.
No. Okay.
So, Bulgaria and Romania.
Neither of those.
Ukraine.
Okay.
Ukraine, yay!
Ukraine.
Ukraine is one.
Okay.
Good job. All right. And
lots of stuff that used to be Yugoslavia.
Macedonia.
All right. Oh, okay. All right.
North Macedonia
North
is
Macedonia.
One.
Sorry, yep. North Macedonia yep. Now. Okay.
That's fair.
All right. I'm sorry. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter on Bernal Heights.
Hi, go ahead, please. Yeah.
Hi, it's Peter on Bernal Heights.
Hi, Peter. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Was Colin Craven from The Secret Garden?
Colin Craven is the boy who is thought to be crippled, but turns out not to be in The Secret Garden. Yes, very good.
Great.
Good job.
And a question.
Yes.
Which is the only state capital that has neither an airport nor a rail connection?
Once upon a time, I'm not sure if it's this way anymore, but was it Santa Fe, New Mexico?
No.
Then would it be Montpelier, Vermont?
No.
Okay.
How about Cheyenne?
East
of the Mississippi. Never mind.
Yeah, I was going to say Tallahassee, but they probably have rail.
No.
I don't think they have an airport.
Give the question once more.
Which is the only state capital that has neither an airport nor a rail connection?
All right. Well, you said it was east of the Mississippi. My next guess was going to be Juneau, Alaska.
No. No, there's a railroad. I know that. Been there.
All right. Okay.
I'll narrow it down for you even farther. Until a hurricane in 1999, it was the home of the last surviving Liberty Tree from the Revolutionary War.
Hmm. So does this put it up north?
Sort of.
All right. Are we thinking New England? Is
no,
this
we're
somewhere
not.
In New England? No. Okay.
How about Dover, Delaware?
No.
All right.
About West Virginia. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
They weren't around in the Revolutionary War.
And I said the state and not the capital. My apologies. Go ahead, Karen.
No, I was wondering, I was wondering if it was maybe Kentucky. It's like
no.
Frankfurt, but no. So over, though.
Dover was close.
Dover was close, huh? Okay. Then how about Trenton, New Jersey?
No.
Providence, Annapolis, Rhode Island?
Maryland. You got it.
Oh, wait, which one?
Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Interesting. Well,
that's a pretty small city, so. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
Great. Thanks, guys. It? Good show.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. Hi. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
I just wanted to let you guys know that the Slanted Door is actually a Vietnamese restaurant, not a Chinese restaurant. But
it is a Vietnamese restaurant. That is true.
Yeah. So just wanted to make that correction because, you know, Asian restaurants are all very distinctive. I have a kind of longish. I'm wondering if I should save this for next week. Let me tell you what it is. And then I have six titles of well-known novels, and then they're working titles. And I want you to match up the working titles with the published title.
It's a good question, and rather than rush through it, you should save it for next week.
Really? Okay, because they're like War and Peace, Lady Chatterley's Lover, Gone with the Wind, Portnoy's Complaint, Pride and Prejudice, and Treasure Island. You think I should try to call back? It took me a long time to get on, so.
Oh, well, just call at the very beginning of the show next week, and we'll get you on. I promise.
All right, Dana. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's David from Oakland.
Hi, David.
First, I just want to wish that you all and your friends and family are well and remain healthy. Just that's my new salutation, just laying it out there.
Thank you.
Blessing upon you. I was wondering, because I had to turn off the radio in order to, you know, keep from the feedback, but I was wondering whether the question about the child's character, the children's book character, Templeton, right, had been guessed?
It had. What was your answer? Go ahead.
Charlotte's Web.
That is correct. Very good. I'll give you a note for that. You didn't know.
Okay.
Was there go ahead.
Yeah, just two quick questions. The first is, what is the pitch of the dial tone, and what I and several of our callers have been listening to frequently with the busy signal? What is the pitch of that tone?
Dial tone has several pitches melded together, which is what gives it that sort of odd sound that I wasn't aware it counts as one pitch.
You can tune a certain orchestral instrument to it that's often used to tune the rest of the orchestra.
I feel bad for hurrying you up, but we're almost out of time. So
So it's an A. It's an A.
Is it really an A?
And
okay.
Yeah. So you can, if you want to tune your violin or your guitar or whatever, you can just pick up the phone and, you know, if you've got the old-timey dial tone, you can do that. Second question, very quick, Orphan Trains. What do we know about Orphan Trains? Where do they end, where do they start and where do they end up?
This is more than a minute and a half, I'm afraid. Yeah.
I understand.
I'll have to. Yeah, please call back next week. I'm sorry to ask you to do that, but we'll have more time.
No worries. It's just all right. Okay. Great show as usual, and thanks to you all. Okay. Take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
All right. Okay, time to clean up here. So, Kira, what do you got? Anything?
Okay. So the countries where you can travel without having to be quarantined or getting a visa, or get a visa rather. The ones that are left are Albania, Croatia, French Polynesia, Kosovo, Lebanon, Maldives, Serbia, Tanzania, and Turkey.
Hear that, Greg? We're going to Kosovo. And Cameron.
All right. I have nothing left out, but can I guess two more of the characters real quick? I know them for a fact. Okay. Homily Clock was in The Borrowers. And then
very good.
I think. Yeah. And then Sarah Crewe was the princess in A Little Princess.
Right. Sarah Crewe was the little princess. And Jonathan Brown was one of the children in Paddington Bear. Very good. And the Bernies, nobody got. The ones, the fourth and fifth. That's Bernie Coppell from The Love Boat, of course. And Bernie Taupin, who is Elton John's songwriting partner. Anyway, if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. My thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. Of course, David LaTulipe are handling the board and phones. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Have a great week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
You bank, if it ain't Bean, it's Frank. It's gotta be this or that.